The House on the Hill. This is the story of Chateau Ausone in Saint-Emilion, Bordeaux, written by Lisa Perotti Brown for The Wine Palette. On the limestone slopes at the southern edge of the village of Saint-Emilion sits one of Bordeaux's smallest and most coveted estates. Chateau Ausone makes barely a couple of thousand cases of wine a year, yet for more than a century it has stood at the top of the right bank's hierarchy. It is a property defined by paradoxes. Ancient but restless. Microscopic in scale, but monumental in reputation. Fiercely private, yet world famous. To understand it is to understand a single family's two millennia relationship with one extraordinary hillside. Ausone is named for Decimus Magnus Ausonius, the 4th century Gallo-Roman poet and consul born in Bordeaux, who is said to have owned a villa on or near the site and to have planted vines in the surrounding hills. The claim is impossible to verify with certainty, but it is more than romantic invention. The remains of a Gallo-Roman villa, known locally as the Palat, were uncovered on the lower slopes below the property, lending real archaeological weight to the legend. The name Ausone first appears in the archives in the 16th century, by which point the site had already undergone several identities, including Chapelle Madeleine and the Cantenat holding. Documents tied to the estate stretch back to the Middle Ages, including a 14th century permission, issued in the name of England's King Edward III during the period of English rule in Aquitaine, allowing a local lord to build a fortified house where the chateau now stands. Remarkably for Bordeaux, a region notorious for the constant buying and selling of its chateau, Ausone has belonged to only three families across roughly seven centuries. The Lecour family held the land from the 13th to the 16th centuries. Jacques de Lescure and his heirs followed in the 17th, and in 1690, the property passed to the Châtenay-Cantenat family, from whom today's owners, the Vautiers, directly descend. The terroir. Ausone's greatness is tied to its singular terroir. The vineyard is tiny, about 7 hectares, roughly 17 acres, and lies in a single block wrapped around the chateau. What makes it exceptional is the geology. The estate straddles two soil types that together form an almost ideal growing environment. At the top sits the famous Calcaire à Astérias, the star-shaped fossil-rich limestone plateau that underpins the finest sites of Saint-Emilion. Shot through with the remains of an ancient seabed, this porous rock lends the wine its energy, precision, and crystalline minerality, while regulating the vine's access to water so they neither drown nor starve. Below the plateau, the slopes fall away at gradients of 15 to 20% in clay limestone soils, where the clay holds a reserve of moisture that protects the vines through the driest summers. This combination is why Ausone tends to perform when others struggle. It famously came through the catastrophic frosts of 1956 with comparatively little damage. The site's exposure compounds these advantages. The vineyard faces east to southeast, capturing morning and midday sun, while a belt of rock shelters it from the cold north and west winds, creating a warm, protected microclimate. The vines themselves are old, averaging around 50 years, and a few parcels of Cabernet Franc planted more than a century ago are among the most venerable in all of Saint-Emilion. Planting density is high, between roughly 6,500 and 12,000 vines per hectare, and yields are kept very low, around 33 hectoliters per hectare, concentrating everything the terroir has to give. Cut into the hillside beneath the property are vast former limestone quarries converted into cellars centuries ago. Their naturally constant temperature and humidity make them an ideal place to age the wine in barrel, a built-in advantage few estates anywhere can match. To stand among the vines is to feel that history directly. On a visit to the estate, the current generation of custodians, siblings Edouard and Constance Vautier, led me up to the top of the property, where Ausone's ancient chapel and its most precious vineyard parcel sit side by side, We believe the first vines were planted at Ausone around 365 AD, Edward told me as we walked through the oldest section of vines at the very crown of the plateau, a date that belongs more to the estate's lore than to its archives, but one the family clearly cherishes. This oldest plot has vines planted in 1904, Constance added. Here, the Merlot and Cabernet Franc are interspersed, but we harvest them separately. Among these century-old vines stand the remains of the medieval Chapelle de la Madeleine, dating to the late 12th or early 13th century, which lends the estate's second wine, Chapelle d'Ausone, its name. Beneath the chapel lies an underground rotunda still preserving a fresco of the Last Judgment, one of several strata of Roman and Christian history layered into this single hillside. The wine. Where most of Saint-Emilion leans heavily on Merlot, Ausone is distinguished by its emphasis on Cabernet Franc, which thrives on limestone and typically makes up around 55% of the blend, with Merlot filling out the balance. A small amount of Cabernet Sauvignon appears in the second wine. The result is a style prized for its lift, freshness, floral and savory aromatics, and a mineral, almost graphite-like spine that allows the wines to age gracefully for decades. The Grand Vin is shadowed by a second wine, Chapelle d'Ausone, and total production is famously small, often well under 2,000 cases. The estate's modern reputation was forged under Alain Vautier, who took the reins of winemaking in the mid-1970s and steadily lifted Ausone back to the front rank, drawing on consulting input from the celebrated oenologist Michel Rollin from the mid-1990s. In the cellar and vineyard alike, the approach is one of minimal intervention. Grapes are picked by hand, sorted by density, and vinified parcel by parcel in small wooden vats, with gentle, gravity-assisted extraction. Since 2020, the estate has been converting to organic farming, drawing on biodynamic-inspired practices, plant-based treatments using nettle, willow, and valerian, and encouraging a living ecosystem of hedgerows, fruit trees, insects, birds, and bats around the vines, though without pursuing formal certification on the flagship label. Walking away from the classification. In 2021, Ausone made headlines across the wine world by declining to submit a dossier for the 2022 renewal of the Saint-Emilion classification, effectively withdrawing from a ranking it had held at the very top as a premier Grand Cru Classé A since the classification's creation in the 1950s. Château Cheval Blanc announced the same decision at the same time, and Château Angelus followed in early 2022. The Vautier's objection was philosophical. As Pauline Vautier, Alain's eldest child and technical director, explained at the time, the family had harbored reservations for years about an evaluation system that, in their view, gave too much weight to wine tourism, marketing, and social media presence, and too little to terroir and the quality of the wine itself. The decision was characteristically understated. Pauline noted that anyone who knew her father would not be surprised. And, as it turned out, commercially painless. Prices and demand for Ausone have remained robust, its standing resting on reputation rather than any official seal. The Vautier family. Ausone today is the heart of a small constellation of family-owned Saint-Emilion properties. Alongside the flagship, the Vautier farm Château La Clotte, a Grand Cru Classé acquired in 2014, Château Moulin Saint-Georges, Château Osimar, Château Simar, and Château de Fontbelle, the last in the family since 1971, around 100 hectares in all, gathered under the family's guiding idea of l'esprit Ausone, the spirit of Ausone, the notion that the standards of the great cru should infuse every estate they touch. The family describes itself as the 11th generation to steward Ausone since 1690. Some external accounts count the generations slightly differently. After decades at the helm, Alain Vauthier has gradually drawn the next generation into the business. The leadership of Aussonne now rests increasingly with Alain's two younger children, Édouard and Constance, who manage the six estates jointly and describe their work as deliberately transversal, moving across all the properties rather than each guarding a separate fiefdom. Édouard followed a winemaking education, a viticulture enology diploma at the Blanquefort Agricultural College, with a business degree specializing in wines and spirits in Bordeaux, then spent 5 years in Asia working for a wine importer and distributor, with stints in the Philippines and Shanghai. He returned to France in 2019 and took charge of hospitality, client relations, and the representation of the wines on export markets, while also keeping a hand in every stage of winemaking. As comfortable on a tractor as on a plane, in the family's description, the Swiss Army knife of the operation. Reflecting on the responsibility, he has said he has no desire to leave a personal stamp on the wines, but rather to hand on a vineyard and microclimate in excellent health so that the vintages produced now will still be admired 60 or 80 years from today. Constance took a strikingly different path before joining the family. She trained and worked as a veterinarian specializing in horses before returning to the estate in 2020. She now oversees the administrative and structural side of the business, management, accounting, and legal matters, alongside the estate's restructuring projects, vineyard works, and its research and development arm. Together with Édouard, she has revived the family's old work of vine selection, studying and selecting clones of Cabernet Franc and Merlot using tools such as genetic analysis and phenological monitoring, while keeping taste, the flavor of the grape, and ultimately the wine, as the final arbiter. Their aim is to identify plant material with slightly lower sugar and a touch more acidity, better suited to a warming climate, along with practical virtues such as later bud break and improved resistance to mildew. What emerges from Édouard and Constance is less a break with the past than a careful tending of it. They speak of unity, of long horizons, of a vineyard that has already outlasted 10 generations and is being prepared for the 11th to follow theirs. In an era of celebrity architects, lavish tasting rooms, and relentless self-promotion, the 11th generation of Vauthiers has chosen a different path. To let one of Bordeaux's most ancient and singular hillsides continue to speak for itself.